We're going to get started with our worship service this morning.
Here. We're here today. We're here to celebrate Jesus. That's what this church exists to do. But every once in a while, then we have a sideshow kind of thing too going on, and the sideshow today is an important one. It's Mother's Day. And I'm going to tell you, if you got a mama who loved you, if you got somebody who loved you like a mama loves, even if it's not your biological mama, you ought to say, "Thank you, Lord Jesus." Because there's something. We just sang a song that says everybody needs compassion, a love that's never ending. And God so often uses mamas to show us that love on earth. It's a good thing. Welcome to our mamas. Happy Mother's Day. And we're just glad that you're here. Now, we're going to keep praising. It's about Jesus, but we're going to keep praising. But we're glad that our mamas are here. All right? All right. 5K, I have no idea. You all know. I mess it up every. I say it every week, and I don't always get it right. Ah. Y'all just don't have to follow me. This is Mother's Day. Is kind of, you know, it can be kind of emotional, and as we sang that song, I was thinking about it again, though. We want to always remember, it's God who gives. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of heavenly lights. When I think about our mamas, it's like saying, wow. Now, I know no mama's perfect, right? None of them. You know, some dads and some preachers are perfect, but no mamas just can't. No, I'm just kidding. You know, no, nobody's perfect that way, right? So I'm not putting mamas on a pedestal. You might say, well, my mama made some mistakes, and my mama did this or that, but you better be glad about your mama. And you better honor your mother. Y'all understand what I'm saying? One of God's greatest gifts. You can tell how rich somebody is by the kind of gifts they can give. Let me tell you what mamas say about God. It says he's the richest. Because he gives the best gifts. Because he can give mamas like that to us. You understand? I don't know if that makes sense. If somebody came up to one of my sons and said, look, boy, I got an F4-150, you know, 2017 Lariat Champion Eddie Bauer four-wheel drive extended leather cab deal. With the big engine and all this stuff, they'd be like, oh, you know, because those things cost like, they cost more than my house. I mean, they do. So somebody to give a gift like that means they got to have a lot of change in their pocket, right? But I'll take my mama over a whole lot of cars like that. You can't show up with anything and give me a trade my mama for. And who gave my mama, who decided my mama was going to be my mama? No, thank you, God. You see what I'm saying? You see where I'm getting at? And maybe you got hard feelings at your mama. Well, you just give those up. Just give them up. Stop it. You don't understand. Just forgive her if she needs it. Because she's forgiven you. Because if she didn't, she would do that old saying, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. You understand what I'm saying? So just whatever it is you have, whatever stage of life you're at, if you're at that young stage of life where you're like, you know, mama's the greatest, or you're at that teenager to 20-something where mama don't know anything and she's really cramping my style, or if you've gotten to that wise stage of, wow, thank you, mama. Whatever stage you're at, if you're at that stage where you're missing your mama and you wished that you could see her again and just hug her one more time, whatever stage you're at, we're going to take time to just say thanks to God for our mamas, okay? And whether you called your mom, I call my mom Ma, because I'm lazy and mama has too many syllables. I just cut it off quick, Ma. I write her letters and it starts Ma. Emails, Ma, M-A, Ma. It's one of the first syllables any child can learn and say is Ma. Ma and Da and all those things. There's a reason for we call them that. So the first thing, I don't know what my first word, I'm sure it was somewhere around Ma, you know. But that's what I call my mom. But you call her Mom, Ma, Mama. Or if you have a grandmas or grands or nannies or whatever, Omas. Anybody in Oma? You get into some Polish stuff. I come from, you know, up north where we have Polish people and stuff like that. They got bocces and all this weird stuff. Abuelos, abuelas, you know, we got any Spanish. You know, there's all kinds, right, where we just have these mamas and grandmamas or even aunties. You know, aunties are people who do mama stuff. They're like there where mama can't be there, and they come in and they mama when mama can't mama. My child, I shouldn't tell all this family stuff. I don't even know where he's at. He's hiding out. He's not even here. He took off. He didn't come to church on Mother's Day. I don't know where he is. He wasn't feeling really well, but he gets mad at his mama. He wants to talk to his aunt. Just let me go talk to my aunt. Let me go talk to my aunt. Come on. If they think I do something bad, they want to call my mama, who they call Vivi. I'm going to tell Vivi on you. And I say, no, you won't. But our mamas are precious, and this, you might have had a friend's mama who was like a mama to you. You might have had a teacher who was like a mama to you that did mama things, you know, and helped you out and loved you. And we're just going to take time to give thanks, okay? That's it. We're just going to take time to give thanks right now. So whoever and whatever your deal is with your mama, you got here somehow or another. God made that happen. Somebody's body got all bent out of shape because of you. Somebody's life got all twisted around because of you. Some things happened, right? Somebody toted you for years, at least three. You ever carry something around for a year in a basket and stuff? It didn't wear you out. Somebody did things for you when you couldn't do it, and that's what we're going to say, thank you. And then people just loved us along the way, okay? So let's just take time. This is going to be a time of silent prayer, okay? Won't be long because I know silence freaks people out. But in this time, say your thanks to God for your mom, okay? Go ahead. Let's take that time now. At the end, I'll pray open. Lord, thank you for loving us so much. You've given us wonderful women in our life who we call mamas, whether they were an aunt, a friend, a teacher, whoever they were to us, a grandparent, whatever. They loved us. We recognize it. We do thank you for our mamas who gave us birth, but Father, for all the influence that we've had in our life from those ladies who are special to us and who have loved us and shown us kindness that was undeserved. Patience that would have wore anybody else out. I just thank you. I thank you for those special people, and we give you all the praise for those who are missing their mamas right now, who just wish they could be with them. I pray that you'd be a comfort to them, Lord, and help them to still be thankful for what they had when they had it. For those who haven't come to realize how grateful they ought to be, Father, help them get there. Help them get there. Thank you for not only all the moms, but all the babies that were talking and singing during the music and who are here at Christ Community Church. It's a special blessing. And Lord, we do love you. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. It just gets, this is one of those topics for me. It gets a little emotional. Talk about missing your mama. I miss my mom. Now, she's not gone, for y'all who don't know me. I just live 1,000 miles away from her. And neither one of us are really phone people. So, I called her today. We talked for 5 minutes. But we might not talk for a month or more on the phone. We just don't. It's just not something that we really do to communicate. So I miss her. And I miss being able to see her. And she'll be here next week. So that's an amen, praise God thing. But I see how important mamas are, not just to me, but to other people. I'd rather die than to see my children bereaved of their mother. Y'all get what I'm saying? To think about them going through that, they can handle, they can be bereaved of me and they're going to go on. But at this point, to be bereaved of their mom for whatever reason would kill me to see that on them. And that's something that God does, that God gives us, and it just kind of grabs me a little bit. You understand what I'm saying? So at some point today in this sermon, I hope, of all the, people talk about God, God's not practical, and I don't know how God works, and I've never seen God. I hope that you'll wake up at some point in your mind and your heart and say, God's done something wonderful and given us people who love us like that. It's unexplainable. Outside of just compassion and love, that somebody would become so put out in order to bring me in and to raise me up. I watch how that's happened with my wife at my house. I see the things that she has to put up with that a daddy wouldn't put up with. My kids don't sass me because I wouldn't put my patience in like her patience. They I know my daddy's loved me, but I think my daddy would probably beat me. And so we're not going to push him. My mama just loves me, and she has patience the size of an ocean, and she's just that way. It's not that she won't correct or rebuke. I know somebody said, well, we ought to correct her. She does. My goodness. But they're worried that I might really beat them. And they know that she loves them too much for that. Ought to be so grateful. Ought to be so grateful for what God has done and who God has given us. I want to speak on having a baby dedication. Being a church that has baby dedications, because we're scheduled to have one. And we're not going to let the fact that we have no babies to dedicate today stop us. We're going to move on, okay? Because I want to talk about what it says about the church, all right? In a baby dedication, we don't do anything spectacular in the sense of putting any kind of spiritual mojo on babies and like grabbing them and saying, whoa, you're good, you're sealed. We don't prophesy over them, or we don't do any kind of, I'm not speaking badly about those things. I'm just saying we don't. What we do is we recognize that our children are gifts from God, and that we dedicate, really, it's not a baby dedication, it's dedicating ourselves to raise these babies right in God, to pray for them, and to teach them, and to lead them, and to love them. Okay? That's really what we do. And I want to talk about a strategy that we need in our church, and we need in Christ Community Church, that we have, but we need to never lose. It's a strategy of reaching out to young'uns, to children, to making sure we always have them. I'm looking at the young people, I'm like, just make them. That's one way. Growth by birth. That's fine. But you know what? We can't do it that way forever. We're going to have a strategy of reaching out. And we're going to have a mindset like a mama that's ready to receive children all the time. So turn with me to Psalm chapter 127. If you have your Bible, Psalm 127. And I want to give you this mindset that's here recorded in the scripture. And when I see it, I think to myself, this is the mindset that a church needs to have about children in the church. Psalm 127. I'm going to read verses 3 through 5. Although it's all good, I don't know if they got the whole, I think I told them 3 through 5, so we're going to go with that. Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. They shall speak with their enemies in the gate." We pray, Lord, help us. Again, we thank you. Now we've heard your word. Apply it to our hearts and help us, Lord, just to love you and to develop this strategy and to have it forever as part of Christ Community Church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is what I wanted to get at, and I'm just going to jump right to it. Verse 5, it says, "Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them." And it's not that I want to change the word. I just want to take this principle and I want to apply it to a church. Happy is the church whose quiver is full of them. Happy is the church whose nursery is full of children. Happy is the church who, when they gather together, there's babies crying and yelling and screaming. Happy is the church that has to expend a lot of its voice telling people not to run inside the building, to stay out of the parking lot when there's cars around. Happy is the church that has a vacation Bible school where there's just a whole bunch of ruckus going on and there's kids everywhere. Happy is the church that when you pull up, you got to drive slowly because you know there's going to be people dashing around to and fro, these little ones. Happy is the church who's full of them. Y'all, there's a principle here. It says children are a heritage from the Lord. It's a reward. It's like having arrows as a warrior. It answers a lot of questions. It's a good defense. It's a good deal. But I'm going to tell you something. There are a whole lot of churches, even in our town, who are full of grandmas and grandpas. And there ain't nothing wrong with grandmas and grandpas, right? We love our grandmas and grandpas. But a family ought to have grandmas and grandpas, moms and dads, sisters and brothers, babies, toddlers, teenagers, 20-somethingers, 30-somethingers, right? A family ought to kind of consist of all kinds of folks. Y'all, listen, churches become full of grandmas and grandpas only when they stop deliberately looking at children as someone they ought to seek after and receive as a gift from God. Now look, Christ Community Church is 19 years old. When we look around, we kind of look like that. We got all kinds of people, different ages, different stuff, you know, young, old. We got a mix of it. And that's good. It's good. A long time ago, before we were in the Transformation Center and while we were back at the old building, we used to pray, Lord, bring us children. And then we started investing and saying, we need to go reach children. We need to not just say, Lord, bring them to us, but Lord, show us, help us to go get them. And then when we get them, help us to train them and help us to treat them right. But y'all, listen, if for somehow between our church age right now being 19, between now and if the Lord tarries and we're a 119-year-old church, we ought to be full of children just like we are today and more. That ought not change. And I'll tell you this, if we don't purposely pursue and train and love and receive youngins, I don't think we'll ever be a 119-year-old church. We'll get to our old age as a church. We'll be full of grandmas and grandpas. And when the last grandma and grandpa go on to their reward, they just shut that building down and move on. And there's churches like, y'all know churches like that. And it's not to say anything bad about them. They're great people. When Christ Community was looking for a pastor, and somebody suggested they come see me, and they came up to the church where I was preaching. I'm going to quickly give you the demographic, the age range of that church. We had a one-year-old and a three-year-old. That's it. Those are the two children. From the three-year-old, the next age was 30 years old. And that was my wife and I. From the 30-year-old, the next age was 70-year-olds. That's not how it should be. But if you'd have went four decades back, that church was full of children.
They had youngins, and they had classes for youngins, and they had programs for youngins, and they had things for youngins, and they loved them. By the time we got there, now look, these were great folks. They were like nannies and papas to our children. Man, our kids got spoiled. They had like, you know, 20 grandparents who every weekend would say, oh, and they would dandle them, and they would just love on them and bring them things and bring them juice boxes and toys and candies and all this stuff. But there's something, when we looked at the total church and said, we ought to have, where are the kids? Where are the families? At some point, the mess and the noise that the children make became too burdensome. And so they stopped looking after and going after the kids. Y'all listen, at Christ Community Church, that can't happen to us. No matter how old of a church we become, no matter who's the pastor, no matter who's sitting out there, it's not, let me tell you, an important key. If you like this place, if you've been received well here, it's because we're a church that receives children. We're a church who says, you don't have to have anything. You just come on. You know, because a lot of times people don't reach out to kids because kids don't tithe. And kids don't serve. And kids don't do this. And they don't do that. But let me tell you what they do. They bring a blessing from God that money and other things can't make up for. You know, I'd see churches full of grandmas and grandpas. And I realize this, though. You know when grandmas and grandpas are at their best? When their grandyoungers are around. Watch, they do things they wouldn't ordinarily do. They got energy that they don't ordinarily have. They're thinking outside, you know, it's just good. We all need to be together. You know when kids are at their sweetest? When they go in the hug and neck of a grandma and grandpa. You know, they say some of the sweetest things. You know, think about some of the dumb things that you said to your parents, your mom. I think of some of the ways I just sometimes didn't say nice things, wasn't polite, was neglectful, took for granted my mom. But somehow or another, you know, kids are sweet to their grandparents. And grandparents sweep back to their kids because they know they don't got to, you know, grandparents could spoil them. My grandpa had a shirt when Joshua was born, and he only got to see my son a couple times, and that's a heartbreaking thing for me because he passed away. But he had a shirt that said, Grandpa's the name and spoiling is the game. And I think about that and how awesome it is when all the generations are together, when we got full families. You know, we got aunts and uncles and friends and everybody together. But, y'all, it starts by saying we're going to be open to children. We're never going to get so stuffy and mature and so concerned about what the walls look like and what the floors look like and having a dignified ministry so that we can bring in all the dignified people who know how to tithe properly and know how to dress properly and they don't play in the parking lot because that's not proper. We don't ever want to become that church. Stay young, Christ Community Church, at heart. Stay a place where we say, come on to the youngins. They keep us young, too. It's just good if we'd see them as an heritage from the Lord. Let's turn to Matthew real quick. Matthew chapter 18. And I'm just going to read a little passage. It simply reaffirms the same thing. It says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him, and he set him in the midst of them, and he said, assuredly I say to you, unless you're converted and become like a little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. This is a very mama passage to me when I read it, when I think about it. But I want to cue in on two things. One, the first is in verse 5. It's about receiving children. Because that's what mamas do. I'm sorry, we just got to be a little biological, but mamas receive children. I mean, that's just part of what happens, and their bodies change, and their minds change, and they begin,
nesting and they may making room and they begin thinking about baby names and thinking about things that I would never think about. I wouldn't believe how many times Sarah had me out to buy a car seat stroller combination things. And we had some, but they still, it was like, no, but we don't have the perfect one. I'm like, do we need the, yes, we need this one. We need the one that's like this. We need this kind of one. I'm like, I didn't know. I figured if it had a handle on it, wheels, and you could stuff a baby in it, it was good. You know, they're all, it's not like we were looking at one that was like from 1970, like a one made out of like steel or something like that back in the old days. I mean, they were all modern, you know, but you had to have just the right one. There's something about a mama that says, I'm ready to receive. I'm going to receive this child. We're going to make sure it has space. The colors on the wall need to be right. You know, I didn't even know that. I didn't even know when our first child was coming that it made a difference what color the walls were. I tried to explain to her, that baby ain't even going to be looking at the walls. That baby don't care nothing about them walls. And I realized it wasn't about the baby, really. It was about this mama who was getting ready to receive the baby. And the walls were just a symbol. We never found out what we were going to have, a boy or a girl. You know, we just never did. We just had babies and they came out and we named them. We had a boy name and a girl name. We just named them. So what that meant was our rooms were always ready to receive a boy or a girl. So they were, you know, like green and yellow, kind of yellow like the walls, a little green and stuff, and had like, you know, gender neutral deals like animals and stuff like that on there. But I had no idea we even needed any of that stuff. But she knew. She knew we needed to do whatever we needed to do to make that baby feel welcome in our place. She knew. She knew we needed a bassinet. We needed to put it at the end of our bed. We got a room that's painted for him. Yeah, but he ain't ready. He needs to be at a bassinet at the end of our room, end of our bed. Can I tell you real quick about something about that? When we brought him home the first night, he was wheezing. I can't even do it. A wheeze, a baby wheeze. Wheeze, wheeze, wheeze. So every time he breathed, he'd wheeze. Wheeze. And that bothered us. Like, why in the world is he wheezing? So we're at the edge now. We're cramped up on the foot of our bed, looking at the bassinet, looking at him. Let's talk to each other. What should we do? I don't know. I don't like that he's wheezing. I said, I don't like that he's wheezing either. Should we call somebody about this wheezing? We said, let's just see what happens. Okay. So we kind of get back in bed. You know what happened? You know what he did? He stopped wheezing. You know what we did? Jumped back to the foot of the bed and looked at him and said, why did he stop wheezing? All of a sudden, we were comforted by the wheeze because we at least knew he was breathing because he was wheezing. We're like, wheeze. Now he's not wheezing. And I had to put my hand, you know, you put your hand on his chest, even rise, you know, trying to get some air, make sure he's cool. And he was cool. And I looked at my wife and I said, listen, whether this boy wheezes or he don't wheeze, he's not making us happy either way. We got to figure out how to learn with this kid, live with them, you know. But there's something about a mama's heart that's so attentive that makes sure he gets received well. Oh, Christ Community Church needs to be kind of church where our children get received well, where anybody's child gets received well. Whether they're a youngin' or whether they're an oldin', they get received well. Our church needs to be a mama-ing church in that way. We need to receive and accept well those who God would bring and need to say, yes, Lord. Yes, it's good. Thank you. Thank you for who you bring here. Thank you for those, and I thank you for everybody who God brings here. It's not to say, well, you just want to have this and that. No, I see it. When God brings somebody here, that's a God thing. And it gives us an opportunity to be welcoming, to be like a mama. And there's a lot of people who need a mama church. There's a lot of people who have been hurt. There's a lot of people who don't know what the gospel is. There's a lot of people who just need to know that they can belong somewhere and that they can fit in and be welcomed and received open armed. If he didn't make Christ Community Church that way, then I'm very mistaken, because I think that's exactly where we fit into the greater body of Christ. I believe that's exactly our mandate, our purpose,
is to be that church where everyone is welcome. And we're just open wide. And
one of the funnest things I see about our church, every once in a while I get the privilege of go and pick people up and bring them to church. And it makes me, you know, a little bit, it gets me out of the church when usually I'd be in the church or in my office or walking around and I'm not seeing what's going on outside. One of the greatest things is when I get to see what's going on outside Christ Community Church. Because if I go out to like Wright's Grocery to pick people up out behind there in that subdivision, I'd pass by a lot of churches. This is the only one I get to where there are children just crawling on the yard like grasshoppers. You know, where it's just, you can look at it and see there's life going on. Now, some people are like, that makes me nervous. It's okay. When you have kids, you are nervous. If you want to be not nervous, don't have kids. But if you have them, you're nervous. How long are you nervous? Forever. That's what everybody tells me. It doesn't get any better when they're grown. You know, I look at them and I have that wore out daddy look like, whew, then they just look at me. It doesn't get any better when they're grown. I'm like, well, thank you for that good news. That's really nice, really precious. Appreciate you. But if you don't want to be nervous and burdened, just don't have any. Don't accept any. Don't receive any. If you're going to be a church, we're going to be a church that receives kids. We're going to be nervous. I was talking to Jeff. I was telling him this. I said, we got kids outside in the church. He goes, they better be careful. There's snakes out there in the snake season. And they're out, aren't they? I mean, he cuts yards and stuff. He sees them. He knows. And we got this big old field. There's snakes out there. And your kids are out there with snakes. Praise God they are. Man, where else should they be? They ought to be out there. They ought to be doing these things. We had a good little bit of fellowship Thursday. We went up to Hernando to see a football game because we got some of our guys in football. And anyways, I don't mean to, but Easton Curry made a catch that was like, he like did it. We called it, in the stands, we called it the ninja catch because it was like he spun and did this weird stuff and caught it. But there was mamas and grandmamas and we were there supporting. It was just a good fellowship. If you don't want to be burdened and have to drive on Thursdays up to Hernando, don't have any. But you know what? They're going to have birthdays, and they're going to graduate, and they're going to have games, and they're going to have surgery, they're going to have all this stuff. Man, let's support them. Let's get involved in that. If you don't want to be involved, then don't let your heart go out like that. But we're going to be a church that says, we're going to be like a mama to these. We're going to receive them and love them and support them and say, add a boy, add a girl, come on, let's do it. And give them that support that like we've been given, like we see in God. Isn't that cool? Isn't that an awesome opportunity? To me, it's an awesome thing. It's an awesome opportunity. Matthew chapter 19. We see this again. It's really similar. But verses 13 through 15, Matthew 19 says this. Then little children were brought to him being Jesus, that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked him. Or rebuke them. In other words, the disciples said, don't bother the teacher. Don't bother Jesus. He's too busy. He's too dignified. He's too rabbi. He's too Messiah to be bothered with children. He's got important things to do. Don't bother him with children. He's got important things to do. And Jesus said, he tells them, let those children come to me and do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and he departed from there. And let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus has time to receive people. Jesus has time to receive children. Children aren't unimportant things to Jesus. Jesus looked at them and said, here's my model for the kingdom. They're simple. They're trusting. They're honest. I'm just looking out and I see some expressions on some of the children's faces like, I'd rather not be here. See, they don't have the phony church smile and all those things that some people, you know, get like make over years. Like, just smile and bear it and he'll stop preaching. Don't say amen because, oh my goodness, he may never stop. The kids, like, it was still the, really? Now he's calling me out? Do you think that makes me feel better? Jesus had time. Jesus had time to receive children, and we ought to also. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay. Good.
We don't ever need to change from that. Now we're going to have a time of invitation. And here's the invitation. It may not apply to everybody, but I'm convinced it's going to apply to somebody. Okay? I said from the beginning, one of the great kindnesses that God has shown us is through our mamas. One of the great kindnesses that He's done is given us a mama to love us, to care for us, to carry us. It's just one of His great gifts. I know we had an opportunity to say thank you at the beginning for our mamas and all those ladies who did that role in our life. But this is what I want to do right now for the invitation. I want to talk about those who have taken for granted. Maybe you don't need to say thank you right now. Maybe you need to say I'm sorry. Maybe you need to say you're sorry to God for how you've handled or mishandled the gift that is your mom. Maybe there's been some things that you said, I have totally wasted this gift. Can I tell you something? To me, this is as close to home as you get. It's like the prodigal son. You know, y'all heard the story of the prodigal son. You know what the word prodigal means? It means wasteful. It means you've been given something great and you wasted it. You've been given great opportunity, great compassion, and great love, and you wasted it. Now we're going to have this invitation because I promise this. I believe for those who have rejected and wasted the love that God's given them from their mama, if they haven't, they're really close to saying to God's greatest gift, which is Jesus Christ, they've probably wasted that one too. And if you could start by saying and recognizing that you have spoiled one of the great gifts that God's given you and your mother, maybe you'll also be able to open your eyes and see that the greatest of gifts in Christ being spent on the cross for our sin, maybe you've neglected that gift too. And maybe today's your day to say, not only I'm sorry, Mom, but I'm sorry, Lord. I know and I recognize you as the great giver of gifts. I want to recognize that I've wasted it. Maybe today's your day to say, Lord, forgive me for taking for granted and wasting the greatest gifts that I've had. Maybe that's your day. Because I'm going to tell you something. God, in His Word, if you want to look it up later, it's Romans chapter 2, verse 4. It says that it's His kindness that leads us to repentance. And one of those kindnesses He gives us is a mom to carry us and to love us. And if you've wasted that kindness, y'all, God's wrath ain't going to bring you. Ain't no preacher going to scare you into repenting. Ain't no hellfire and brimstone message going to shake you. But if you understand that God's kindness is available to you, and if you've wasted it at any point in your life, especially as it applies to your mom or applies to Christ, now is a time when you can say, okay, Lord, I don't want to waste not one more bit of your grace and your kindness and your love for me. Help me to receive today your goodness and your salvation that you've given through Christ. Help me to say sorry to my mama too, but help me to receive that great gift. So this is the invitation. We're going to have it now. I'm going to pray for us. If you need to say you're sorry to the Lord for how you've treated your mama or to the Lord for how you've treated Jesus Christ, right now is your time. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. And Lord, help us. Help us to get real. Help us to look right into your eyes. You are the great giver. Help us to be honest about how we've treated your best gifts. And if there's reason to repent, if there's reason to say sorry, if there's reason to say, forgive me, Lord, help us to trust that you are who your word says you are, loving and forgiving and merciful and kind and gracious. Help us right now, Lord, if there's anyone here today who needs to say, sorry, Lord, for I've treated your great gifts. Father, may they have that freedom in this place to do that today. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Right now is your time.
If you need to pray, come up here and pray. If you'd like me to pray with you, I'll pray with you.
But don't leave. If you need to do this business, don't leave without doing it.
I see shadows. you can make love me. You wash me in mercy. I am clean. There's nothing to do.
Come forward for the take up the offering, and as they do, I want to pull my finger up. If you committed to giving the centrifuge, give your money to either Jamie Harrison or to my wife Sarah. If you don't care where your money goes to, give that to me. If you want to give to the Lord through the church, that's what this offering is about. Okay? So let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us, and thank you for this time. And Lord, we do love you, and we give you all the praise. And Lord, we do ask that you just bless. Thank you for allowing us to give back a portion of what you give. You're the great giver, and we're just following. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Is this the real life?
at Stevie's house, will you let me go?
Just you know, we will not let you go.
Let me go.
Just you know, we will not let you go.
Let me go.
Just you know, we will not let you go.
Let me go.
We will not let you go.
Let me go.
We will not let you go.
Let me go.
No, 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 no.
Mamma mia, mamma mia.
Mamma mia, let me go. If you ask me one more time, I'll scream, I'll scream, I'll scream. So you think I don't care if you stay up and cry? So you think I don't need anything to die? Oh, baby, please just go to sleep, baby. Just gotta get out. Just gotta get right out of here.
No real babies were hurt in the making of that. Only one kind of gets tossed off stage there. But look, have a wonderful Mama's Day. I was reminded by Mr. Bill, the children are doing a program here next. They're going to sing a song, and we're having graduation recognition next Sunday. So come on out. But go love your mama and thank God for her. Amen. And that's it. Thank you for letting me be your pastor, and I love you. Let me pray, and then we'll close. Father God, thank you for loving us so much. You gave us mamas. Help us, Lord, to recognize that you are the giver, to give you the glory and the credit. But Father, help us to have a wonderful time, too, in celebrating the memory of or celebrating our relationship with our mom. And Lord, if we need work on it, help us to do that, too. Lord, we love you and give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready?